It's very nice today. There's no sun in the eyes of speakers. Michael, are you there? I'm talking to Mike, yeah? Okay. I do. Oh, do I want? People were talking about having, you know, little electronic whiz gizmos. So I've got mine. I'm going to read from the Net Bible today, so I don't have a hard copy, so there it is. Is it coming through? Okay. So I was asked to speak, and I was thinking of several things that I'm not going to speak about. Two, 3 weeks ago, I was reflecting about all of the mass shootings that go on in North America, in the U.S. I'm from the United States, and they have mass shootings, and when I was a little boy, they didn't have them. Something's changed, really drastically changed. I grew up in the 50s. It was just unknown. I mean, the families, they all had guns and rifles in their house, but there were no mass shootings. And you don't hear this on the microphone, but there's been since the 60s, there's been a steady increase. And it's really gotten crazy. Something's changed. What is it? What's changed? I was thinking about that, and I actually heard some people talking about it that made sense. And they were talking about how values had changed. And I thought, well, how do you help people get their values straight? I don't know. But we're going to do a little bit of that today. And another thing came up. Let's see if I can get it here. Yes. So we're going to talk a little bit about values. We're going to talk a little bit about freedom and what God is doing in the world. But let me read from a song that was written, of all times, in the 60s. You'll recognize the person. Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things I have on. I wear black for the poor and the beaten down, living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. I wear it for the prisoner who has long paid for his crime, but is there because he's a victim of the times. I wear the black for those who never read or listened to the words that Jesus said about the road to happiness through love and charity. Why, you'd think he's talking straight to you and me. And we're going to jump to the end. Well, there's things that will never be right, I know. And things need changing everywhere you go. But till we start to make a move to make a few things right, you'll never see me wear a suit of white. I'd love to wear a rainbow every day and tell the world that everything's okay. But I'll try to carry off a little darkness on my back till things are brighter. I'm the man in black. The words that Jesus said, There are people that have never heard the words that Jesus said, and there was something that happened in the news this week that was really very important, but it got drowned out. It seems there's a circus in town or in Washington, and the important thing was that at the United Nations, it was pointed out that the freedom to speak your conscience, to speak words of truth, to believe in God and to live for Him, that freedom is in jeopardy. Something like 80% of the places and countries in the world do not have a free openness to hear the words that Jesus said. 80% of the world. Well, maybe that's an exaggeration. 70%. Even 10% would be a crime. We're talking about most of the world tries to drown this out. What words do I have to say to that? How do you fight that? I don't know. And I was praying and I thought about these words that Jesus said, and so you're going to get to listen to some of the words that Jesus said today. And I'm going to start with something of the end, part that you know very well. I would love, actually, to have performed all this, but unfortunately, our record of it is in Greek, and I don't think it would have come across the way it was meant to. Besides, Jesus gave the words in Hebrew, not in Greek. So, translation is good, and we're going to have maybe a demonstration of what is translation. How do you communicate words and put a spin on it so that you get the truth? Well, it says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on rock, and then rain fell and the flood came, and the winds beat against that house, but it did not collapse because it was founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the flood came, and the winds beat against the house, and it collapsed. It was utterly destroyed." Well, what are these words he's talking about? I'm going to try to read them all. And they relate to what Gary read at the very beginning when we started our service today. He talked about a person who is like a tree planted by a stream because he meditates on the words of the Lord. And you see, meditating on the words of the Lord is actually what gives us our values. And if we have those values in our heart, our children will pick them up. They'll pick up everything, by the way. They're like, I don't know what they're like. They're like sponges. When they finally grow up and you watch your children, you can ask yourself, was I able to hide this trait of mine, this weakness of mine? No, there it is. You will see it in your children. And every now and again, you'll actually see them fighting against it. They will have recognized that they don't like it, that weakness. And they may even be a flip of your weakness on one point here or there. And that's sometimes good, as long as they get the good points too. How to get these values? Well, Jesus was here, and he started a movement of values. He was a prophet building on the words of Torah. And this building and the way he started his movement has started a movement that has gone forward for 2,000 years. And We're either all people who have joined that movement, or if you're here this morning, you will be invited to join that movement. It's remarkable. It's truly remarkable. But it's also difficult. So I'm going to listen to some of these words that Jesus said. I'm going to share them with you. I'd like you to listen. I will try to make them mostly the words and not so much my finesse. Oh, I'm going to share a few things. I'll get in the way, hopefully in a good way. And then we'll get to hear these words. And one of the places, of course, to start is in Matthew 5 with Jesus' words. It says, when he saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain and he sat down. And his disciples came to him and he began to teach. So I'm sitting down because this is the culturally appropriate way to do. And if I'm reading, I just thought I'd like to sit today. So let's let these words come upon us. Here's what Jesus said. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are the poor in spirit because they have a relationship with God. Malchut Shemaim is actually a first century idiom that's talking about a personal relationship with God, where God is your king. Oh, thank you. God is your king, and you personally belong to him and have accepted him as your king. Imagine that. You see, these words Jesus is sharing is with a first century Jewish audience. They're people that had the Torah. They read it every week during the weekdays. They even understood that these laws had implications. In Deuteronomy, just a chapter, maybe it's in Nitzavim or it's the chapter before that was read today, it talks about the circumcision of the heart. These people knew that God's words are things that go inside us. They are what build us and set our values. So Jesus is talking to a Jewish audience in the first century. We have to remember that. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the land. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. They are the ones who have the personal relationship with God. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil about you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad because your reward is great in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets before you in the same way. Now, I think it was last year we had a whole series on this. We could spend a long time filling in all of this, but I want these words, the ones that were quoted in the parable about the man building on a rock, I want to hear more of these words. Not a lot of my words about these words. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on by people. You are the light of the world. Now imagine him around Galilee, because when he's preaching, there actually was a city you could see sitting up on a hill. You are the light of the world. A city located on a hill cannot be hidden. Happens to have been Hippos, but that's irrelevant. It's the symbol that counts. You could see the lights from across the lake. People do not light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people so that they can see your good deeds and give honor to your Father in heaven. That's quite a testimony. If you think about giving a testimony, like I and our testimonies to our children and testimonies to our others, this is where it starts. It doesn't finish here, it starts. Do not think that I've come or the prophets. I've not come to abolish these things, but to teach their full meaning. That again is an idiom from the first century. His Jewish audience all understood it. Lekayemotam, to establish them, to make sure that you see their full significance. That's what fulfillment means. I tell you the truth, heaven and earth will not pass away. Not the smallest letter or stroke of a letter will pass away. So anyone who breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever obeys them and teaches others to do so will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Your righteousness goes beyond that of the experts of the law and the Pharisees. You'll never enter this relationship with God, the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it was said to an older generation, do not murder. You will be subject to judgment. But I say to you, anyone who is angry with a brother will be subjected to judgment. Whoever insults a brother will be brought before the council. Whoever says fool will be sent to fiery hell. What has he just done? He's just explained the meaning behind do not murder. Do not murder, and do not slander someone's reputation. Do not be angry with them. If you bring your gift to the altar and remember that someone has something against you, go and be reconciled and present your gift. Reach agreement quickly with your accuser while on the way to court so that he doesn't hand you over to the judge and he to the warden. And you'll be thrown in prison. I tell you the truth. You won't get out of there until you've paid the last penny. Now, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I say, whoever looks at a woman to desire her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If you to sin, then tear it out and throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better to lose one of these bodily parts than to have your whole body go to hell. Now, by the way, I don't think you need to be Jewish or from the first century in order to recognize hyperbole. Jesus was not telling anyone to pluck their eye out or cut off their hand. I say that because sometimes people get carried away with literalness. Oh, it's Jesus' words, or it's the words of the Bible, so we can't think anymore. No, that Jesus was a bit more relaxed, and he trusted us a little bit more than that, which is why he can talk this way. By the way, to all you guys running around the beach in Tel Aviv in the summer, what do you do with this word? Well, you say, Baruch shebara otam zechar nekeva, and leave it there and go on your way. Okay. Blessed are you who has created humans, male and female. And blessed is God who made this creation, and we will not cross those lines and abuse it. Okay. Whoever divorces his wife must give her a legal document, it was said. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality makes her commit adultery. Whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. We could spend a day to unpack this. We won't do it. Again, you've heard that it was said, do not break an oath, but fulfill your vow to the Lord. But I say to you, do not take oaths at all. Not by heaven, God sits there. Not by earth, it's his footstool. Not by Jerusalem, it's the city of the great king. Do not take an oath by your head, because you can't change a hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, and no, no. More than this is from evil. Okay, again, that's hyperbole. That doesn't mean we can't talk. But let the point be clear. And let our words be faithful and true. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the evildoer. Whoever strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other to him as well. By the way, the people didn't see that on the radio or on the internet, so that was a slap on my cheek. Turn the other one. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, then give him your coat too. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go two. Give to him who asks you. Do not reject the one who wants to borrow from you. And again, this is where our heart needs to be and always keeps us in a state of vulnerability and openness. But again, it does not say that we cannot have houses and clothes. We must walk around in one sheet with a pan begging for money, and all of Jesus' followers can do this. If we took the hyperbole too literally, we would simply dissolve all human culture. So again, be careful. What this word does do is it should open our hearts and convict us to be open to he who wants to borrow from you. Do not reject the one who wants to borrow. Do not be stingy. Do not pull yourself back. What does that mean? Well, that's for us to work out. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be like your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Even the tax collectors do the same, don't they? If you greet only your brothers, then what more do you do? Even the Gentiles do this. So be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be open to everyone to do good as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be careful not to display your righteousness merely to be seen by others. Now, remember, he did say, put your light on a hill. But this isn't ornamentation. We're supposed to live our character and people will notice our character, just like children notice our character. It's not to be seen. If the purpose is to be seen, you will be seen, and it will not be what you want. Just like with our children, they figure us out, and they know who we are. If you don't have any children and you have a spouse, same thing goes. Whenever you do charitable giving, do not blow a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in synagogues or on streets so that people will praise them. I tell you the truth, they have their reward. But when you do your giving, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your gift may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Whenever you pray, do not be like hypocrites, because they like to pray while standing in synagogues or street corners so that people can see them. I say to you, they have their reward. Whenever you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, do not babble repetitiously like the Gentiles. They think that many words will get them heard. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Here's how to pray. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. First century up to the 20th century. Lord, may your name be honored through me. May we have that relationship where you are my personal king, and may your will be done on earth. Give us today our daily bread. Take care of our needs. Hey, I'm going to trust you for that. And forgive us our debts as we hereby forgive others. Lord, I need your forgiveness. And because of that, I want your forgiveness, because it's going to open my heart to be forgiving to everyone. Thank you, Lord. Do not lead us to where we are controlled by temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive others their sins, your Father in heaven will forgive you. If you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive you your sins. When you fast, do not look sullen like the hypocrites. They make their faces unattractive so people see them fasting, and I tell you the truth, they have their reward. When you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so it won't be obvious to others, but only to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not accumulate treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Accumulate treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, your heart will be. Lord, may our heart be with you. May our circumcised hearts have this Malchut Shamayim living and breathing every day. The lamp, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. You will be generous. As they say here, give with a good eye. But if your eye is diseased, your whole body will be full of darkness. And the darkness, if the light that you think you have is darkness, then how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. He'll hate the one or love the other. He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you eat and drink, or your body, what you wear. Isn't there more to life than food, more to body than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather in barns, yet your Father in heaven feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add 1 hour to their life? doesn't mean which of you can just be ignorant and unthinking. We need to take care of us. He's put us as caretakers here on earth, but worrying, doubting that he's going to come through and take care of us, that's the problem. So, think about the flowers, how they grow. They don't work or spin. I tell you, not even Solomon in his glory was clothed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the wild grass, which is here today, tomorrow is in the fire to heat the oven, won't he clothe you even more? You people of little faith. So, don't worry, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? The unconverted pursue these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Above all, pursue his kingdom and righteousness, his relationship, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of it, worry about itself. It has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. That doesn't mean don't think and don't recognize evil around you. But judge with an open hand and an open heart, and be judge with charity. Do not just pass judgment so that you will not be judged. The standard you judge by you'll be judged with. The measure you use will be the measure you receive. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye and fail to see the beam of wood in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me remove that speck, while you have a log in your own? Hypocrite, first remove the beam from your own eye, and then you'll be able to see the speck in your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, or throw pearls before pigs, otherwise they will trample them under your feet, the pigs will, and turn around and tear you to pieces, the dogs will. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. It's a nice promise. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? No. If he asks for a fish, give him a snake? If you, even being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? In everything, treat others as you would want them to treat you, for this fulfills the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. The gate is wide and spacious that leads to destruction. There are many who enter through it. But the gate is narrow, the way is difficult that leads to life. There are few who find it. Does this mean that following Jesus is an unhappy life? No. Be careful that you don't miss some of the hyperbole and make it into something that it is not. We've had a teacher here in Jerusalem that used to try to sum up the words of Jesus. And he said, if I could sum up the words of Jesus in one word to his first century listeners, he said, relax. Now, that might not be the word I would have chosen, but it's still interesting that the very first word that this person used to summarize all of these words of Jesus was relax, because it means to have faith. It means to trust God. It means not to get bent out of shape, worried about the speck in your brother's eye, etc., etc. Relax. Trust God. Okay. Watch out for false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are voracious wolves. You recognize them by their fruit. Interesting, because here is the truest prophet of all humanity. I mean, Moses made mistakes. And this is the end of the Torah cycle. We're reading about how Moses is going to see the promised land as a gift of honor, but he will not enter because he sinned. He was a true prophet. And Jesus is the truest of all prophets. In fact, I don't know very many people that realistically point to him as sinning. Did Jesus sin? Well, most of his followers say no. Something special about this prophet. Here is a prophet who brings us the words, and he doesn't even sin. But this sinless prophet, listen, he does warn us about false prophets. And some of them give themselves away. I mean, these cult leaders, you look at them and what do you see? And they've got 15 women all close to them. Or they've got all the money of all of their followers in their own bank account. It's like, dudes, that was a dead giveaway. He warns us about false prophets because false prophets have a way of kind of putting you to sleep and you don't see that they're a false prophet. Yes, that does happen. Fortunately, Jesus is the truest of all prophets and he's given us words to last forever. By the way, if anybody says the words of Jesus are missing and gone, they're a false prophet. Because when God gives words of prophecy, they stay. And, of course, one of the things we have with Jesus, we have the words of the prophets to see just who this Jesus is. Is he the truest of all prophets? Is he the Messiah? That's another sermon another day. By their fruit. Grapes are not gathered from thorns, figs from thistles. In the same way, a good tree bears good fruit. Bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree is not able to bear bad fruit. Good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. By their fruit. By the way, the followers of Jesus, what happened? They took Jesus' words all over the world, first century, second century. It was stunning. This was an amazing feat that happened in the first, second, third century. It swept through the whole world. And maybe the forces of evil had to come up with a different philosophy to try to corrupt these followers of Jesus. The giveaways, you know, the guys that were collecting all the women and all the money, that wasn't leading people away. So, I know, maybe we can just get inside them and give them some government and some responsibilities and a good time and let them mess up. And we'll try to pervert them from within, get enough inside them. You know, the history of the church, has the church been everything it needs to be? What kind of testimony has the church given? Have we been following these words? Have we actually shut these words up at times and seasons in the history of the church? This is something we all have to wrestle with. This gets back to this point. In up to 80% of the world, these words of Jesus are not free to be circulated. But if they are free to be circulated, then we have a responsibility to get them circulated. So, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons and do powerful things? And I will say, I never knew you. Go away from me, you lawbreakers. This is a hard word, because most people cannot do these things. You know, if I cannot just change something because I want to. Somebody has a broken leg. I walk up, touch it, boom, all of a sudden the leg is not broken. It's healed and he can walk. People cannot do that on their own power. So this is a very difficult saying, or maybe a strange saying. But again, I think in this kind of proverbial sense, is taking us back to see the main point. God is not interested in power. He's interested in love. And we can deviate from God's kingdom and from what God does if we get interested in power rather than in love. God did not make us his people so that we would be powerful. He made us his people so that we could love. That is where his kingdom is at work. And if you miss that, you can become like Simon Magus, and we've got a long list in the history of the world that do fulfill this passage. And we've got many that are confusing. Okay, now we get to where we started. Everyone who hears these words and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Rain fell, flood came, winds beat against the house. It didn't collapse because it was founded on rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the rivers came, the winds beat against the house, and it collapsed, and it was utterly destroyed. When Jesus finished these things, the crowds were amazed by his teaching, because he taught them like one with authority, not like simple experts in the law. And between the lines through all of this is having a personal relationship with God. Blessed are, what was the very first line? Do you remember the first line? Blessed are the pure in spirit, the pure in heart, the poor in spirit. Did I say pure? Yeah, poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they are the ones with the relationship with the heavenly king. They are the ones with Malchut Shemaim. And you know, between the lines, how do we get that kind of being poor in spirit? Who is truly poor in spirit? Well, guess what? He just told us it's not our call. God is the one who decides who is poor in spirit. It's up to us to look at our heart and say, Lord, we come before you humbly and recognize that we need our hearts circumcised. We need that relationship with you, and we need that relationship alive and working every day. And if you want to know what that means for that relationship every day, well, then I would just repeat the sermon I just read. But it starts with that relationship. It starts with that circumcision of the heart that is talked about in Deuteronomy and in Yirmiyahu. The spiritual inside of the law and God's relationship to his people. Now, these are not the only words that Jesus said, and we're almost done. I'm going to read two more words Because you can't just, you know, this is not a soundbite that I just gave you. I read what some call the greatest sermon ever given. So I've just ruined that because I added a little to it. So forgive me that. But these words are not a soundbite, but Jesus did give us some soundbites. So I'm going to add the soundbites so that we have Jesus' marching orders. Okay, let's see if I can find it. Okay, I'm getting there fast. Okay, these are my words. This is Jesus. You figure out where he is right now. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. And he says, it stands written that the Messiah would suffer, would rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I'm sending you what my Father promised, but stay till you've been clothed with power from on high. So here is the truest prophet of any. Yeah. The prophesied Messiah. And he says, okay, here it is. These are my words. And he sends us out. He sends them out, and they went out, and their word has come to us, and we are being sent out. I'll come to the rest in a minute. To teach that he is the Messiah, but to teach repentance and forgiveness of sins. Ah, that brings us back to Matthew 5 through 7. We can bring in all of Matthew 5 through 7 again because we need that personal relationship. We need repentance and forgiveness of sins in order to make this proclamation of the Messiah. God sent the Messiah. Okay, one last witness. We're his witnesses, two or three witnesses, and here is the last one that I will share today. Okay. What happened? Oh, my computer went too fast and I went right past. Here we are. So, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain Jesus had designated, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted, and Jesus came up and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So, we're going to build our house on the rock of the words of Jesus. And with this, I want to bless you and say, Shana Tova. May you have a good new year. Amen. And I'm